So for today, Julie and I, we really felt like the Lord wanted us to take today, and as opposed to giving an in-depth teaching on this particular gathering, to share some things that He's been doing in us and that have been on our hearts over the past, particularly over the past month. God did some sweet things in our hearts when we were away. And out of that, we really felt like, no, we need to share these things for today for our shepherding and for our encouragement for us as churches. And I want to say that if some of you are really aching for some in-depth teaching today, I want you to know that, in case you don't know, that I've been uploading a series of teachings this summer onto the web, and would encourage you to download those to teach you and to train you in that way if you're hungering for that over the summer. But today I really felt like, I say, that we were supposed to share and go in that direction. But before we do that, there's a couple of things that I want us to pray for as a church. One thing is, this past week, some of you have maybe heard this news already, but this past week, a person from ASAP, our pastor, died. Dave Wiley, who some of you know was good friends with Nathan Taves, and was away on that camping trip that Nathan died on. Dave died this past week. And I know his family is grieving. So I want us to pray for him, and I want us to pray. I know that Sig and Ruth are connected to that family. I want us to pray for them. I know Jason and Sarah as well. Sarah is connected a little bit anyway with Dave Wiley. I know others of you are. I want us to pray for Dave. You know, pray for his family and the situation. I also want us to pray for, sorry? He has two little children. That's right. I also want us to pray for a boy. This past couple of weeks, the Lord has opened up a door in particular for the Lynn Valley Church to begin to really minister to a woman who they've had contact with over the past 6 months. Her name is Michelle. She has a few sons, and it's a difficult situation, but her one youngest boy, is it his youngest, her youngest boy, this past week injured himself in a skateboarding accident, and another lesson to be wearing and instructing our kids to wear helmets when they're, but he cracked his head open and has, I don't know, they don't know that there's brain damage or anything, do they?
There
is brain damage. Right.
So he's in the hospital. Yesterday he was talking.
Okay.
He's still a bit thrown out because of that, but they're giving him morphine or some sort of medication so he doesn't throw up, because every time he does throw up, the pressure increases in his head, and that's bad for
his brain. Yeah, I mean, this is already a tough situation there, as it is, right? So then to add that into it. So that's, as we start, we'll just pray for these. I know those are tough things, but that's what we do. We pray for tough things, right? So Jesus, we first of all just bring to you this incident with Dave Wiley. In our hearts, for those that know him, even those that don't, we're sad today about this news. And we pray, Lord, just for a real sweet blessing upon Tara and upon the two children, upon Dave's parents, and all those that are connected this week that are hurting and grieving. And we just, what else can we do other than just say, Lord, help us and help that situation. And we pray that somehow, out of a really awful tragedy, we pray that somehow that you would enable life to come. And we pray that that which the enemy meant to destroy and kill and bring low, Lord, that you, Jesus, would be a victor there. Yeah. We trust you with that, Lord. Pray for Sig and Ruth as they seek in some way to minister to this family. And others, Lord, we pray for strength and wisdom, the right words and the right actions at the right time. We ask for all of these things for them. And we pray for this other situation that the Lynn Valley churches find themselves involved with, for Michelle and for Brandon. Lord, we ask for total and complete healing for this boy. And we pray, God, that you would use the Lynn Valley Church to minister and to care for them and to be the love of Jesus, that you, Jesus, might become real to them in this season. We pray that Michelle that would find and the brothers would find their hearts just reaching out and crying out for something beyond themselves. And I pray that you in that moment would step in and be that something. So we ask for these things today in Jesus' name. Amen. While we're at it, I know that Jess, you're going to be organizing some meals for out of your church. I saw that. It may be sorry. Okay. Yeah. And the more the merrier, they can put them in their fridge, right? So it's just, these are great opportunities for us to really step in and care for people. So if you have an ability to do that, contact Jess or speak to her afterwards and let her know that you can do something and prepare something that can be put away for them. Yeah, totally. That is cool. Thanks. Thank you to all you guys in Lynn Valley for what you're doing that way. It's really good. Jolie and I are both going to share, so can someone give me a 10-minute signal so that I don't blather on and take up all her time? Can someone give me the 10? Jonathan, you want to be our 10-minute signaler? Okay, so I wanted to share something of my experience, and then Jolie's going to come and share something of her experience. Most of you know we were on holidays this past July, and we began our holidays in Ottawa. Normally we go to a place called Sable Beach, which is where my family is from, but we began our time this time in Ottawa primarily because I was invited to share at the denomination we're part of, the Christian Missionary Alliance. I was invited to share at their National Assembly, which was a kind of a neat opportunity. At the assembly, there was about 1,500 delegates that were represented and 440 churches from across the country. Don't worry about the kids squawking. It doesn't bother me at all. Just let them squawk away and the rest of us will think through it. But so there was about 440 churches there, about 1,500 delegates. It was a neat opportunity for me to share. They asked specifically, they wanted me to come and talk about what God is doing in this little group of people here in North Vancouver. So we went, but I can say that we also went somewhat reluctantly on one measure. I've been to denominational meetings before like this, and I can say that oftentimes, you know, you end up coming back from just maybe a little bit more grieved, the business and that kind of stuff, and you're like, why does it have to be this way? But, you know, we walked into that meeting, the opening night, we were there for Wednesday night, was it? We walked in, and it was just, we got there kind of partway through the opening plenary session, and it was like, it was just the room was alive with the Spirit. And we kind of, we sat into this and we're like, what is going on? We looked at each other and you looked at me and said, someone has been praying, you know. And you could just tell it was just so, like, just so thick with the Spirit. And it was all week long that we were there. There was unity in the air. We were drawn into worship right away, no problem. Oftentimes when I'm there, I feel like I'm interceding the whole time, praying, God, you know, give us life. But it was just none of that. It was just free to be there. And as I experienced that on that opening night particularly, I just felt like this gentle rebuke of the Spirit about some bad attitudes that sometimes I have towards things like that. I felt like God just saying to me, Andy, I will move in any group that asks me to move. Right? So do not speak poorly about things that you don't have any business speaking poorly about. Right? I'll move in any place anyone asks me to move. And it was just encouraging to just see, like, people had obviously asked them to move, and it was good to kind of step in and find that. So the week turned out to be this, like, sweet point of encouragement for Jolie and I. It also, though, turned out to be this sweet revelation about how we discovered God is using a group of 50 or 60 people in Vancouver to encourage people in Canada and actually encourage people around the world, and I want to share about that. On the opening night that we got there, we just right away began encountering person after person, some that we knew, some that we didn't know, that were coming up saying, "Hey, are you Andy? Are you Jolie? Yeah, I've heard about what you're doing. You know, can we sit? Can we talk at some point?" We had people that were saying, "You know, I've been to your website. I'm on your website regularly. Trev, be encouraged. You know, you built that thing." And I'll tell you what, like, people are across the country are looking in on what's happening in this little group of people. And are encouraged. We had one group of people from Quebec City that spoke to us and said, "You know, Quebec is extremely hard. Vancouver's hard. Quebec is really hard." And they were like, "You know, we know of this group that's hoping to do something similar to what you're doing. Could you call them? Could you encourage them? Could you visit with them?" It was just like person after person. Some of them were pastors that were burning out at being pastors the way they were being pastors and were wanting to talk to me and say, is there another way of being a pastor?" Some were people who had a spirit stirring in them to plant another church in another location. They wanted encouragement from what was happening here. One thing though that was clear was that everybody across the board, and this was maybe a new experience for me, but everybody was super encouraged and everybody was super encouraging about what was going on here. There was no like questions or like, "Why are you doing this? This isn't acceptable," whatever else. It was just people really genuinely excited. And it was like they saw that there was something, they knew and had heard of God doing something new in Vancouver. And for some reason, that was bringing them hope. And I was just surprised. You know, I was surprised that was going on. Maybe a bit of background to share about that to help flesh that hope side of things out a little bit. One of the things that was evident that was on the undercurrent kind of church leadership is that people across the Christian church in Canada, in our denomination and other denominations, there's beginning to emerge a real sense of concern about the state of the church and what's going on. In our denomination that we're a part of, for the first time really ever on record, those statistics that they use to measure church and how church is doing, whatever you want to say about those statistics, they were things like number of baptisms and people that had professed to follow Jesus and church attendance even, all of them were down. For the first time ever, they're going in another direction. And it used to be that evangelicals were kind of like, that's the mainline church and it's God judging the mainline church because, you know, of their wayward ways, but we evangelicals, we continue to grow. We're not continuing to grow. And it's not just our denomination, it's many denominations across the board that are not continuing to grow. They're going in a different direction. And so people, and it was kind of, that was spoken out clearly at the assembly this time, and people were concerned and saying, "What's going on? Why? What is God left us? Is God disappointed in us?" And I think in the middle of that, in the midst of that concern, it was like we here were kind of one little bright spot of like people looking and saying, "Oh, no, he is still at work. He is doing neat things and he's doing new things and he's clearly beginning to move the church in new ways in Canada." And I say all that stuff not to, you know, make you feel pompous like, "Wow, we're really amazing," because we of all people know that we're not amazing, right? But you know, and I do sense that some of the people were looking in and had never been a part of us and were kind of like, "Oh, the grass is greener over there or whatever. They're doing something new." We know that that's not the case. But it was nonetheless something encouraging that was for them to look at us. And I share with that just because I want you to know a couple of things. One is that he's using us. And secondly, I say that and all this to say, like, just press on, right? God's using us. There's good things happening. The theme of the week at assembly this time was from "Let us run the race marked out for us." Is that Philippians or is that Hebrews? Hebrews, right? Yeah. And I say that to us, like, it just was fitting. Let us run the race that he's marked out for us. Okay. After that first night that we met together, or that we met at the main assembly, Jolie and I went out for breakfast the morning afterwards, and we started to talk about these conversations that we had been having. We hadn't shared actually before then about what was going on. And as she's talking about these people who are coming, I'm talking about these people who are coming to talk to me, it was like our eyes started to get wider and we're like, what is happening? Right? Why are all these people talking to us and sharing with us? And we were then right away taken back to that year of prayer. You know, that year of prayer is so significant. Like, God spoke to us so many things in that opening year. Some of you weren't a part of that, but that year where we were beginning to lay the seeds for this, He spoke so many things that I think are there for us to look back on and say, no, God said this, so we'll continue on. But a couple of things that He spoke to us that we were reminded of, that He prompted our hearts about that morning. One was that we were supposed to be pioneers, right? That we were supposed to be people that would go in a new direction, and that part of that going in the new direction was the clearing away of brambles, you know, marking out into new territory, clearing away new brambles so that others could come along in a new direction of being the church. That's 10? Okay. So I'm just about there. Perfect. So that others could move and come along in the new, in their direction. And what was implicit in that was that this clearing away was going to be hard work, right? But that it's important work. And so I just say, keep pioneering, because it's good. And the other thing that we were reminded of that morning was that God spoke to us that we were supposed to be a window, right? A window to the church. And at the time, I think that because most of us came out of North Shore Alliance, I think that most of us, or at least myself anyway, I thought that that window was a window to North Shore Alliance, right? That we were supposed to be some kind of picture to them of another way, not the way, but of another way of being the church together. And what I was surprised by it this week was I saw that that window isn't just about North Shore Alliance, but that window is actually about the church across Canada. And that window is actually beyond that. It's about the church around the world. Because there was missionaries from all over the world that were there, some of who had spoke to us as well, that had heard about what was happening here. So somehow, you know, well, we know this to be true anyways. God's using us. We know that. Right? We think about Brandon and Michelle. God's using us. But somehow, this group of people, God is using in a way that actually we didn't understand or expect before. I didn't understand or know of before being away at this. And you need to know that, right? To be encouraged, to press on, to keep going. That the church across Canada is kind of expecting us. Keep going. Right? Keep charting new territory. Keep pioneering. We need you to do that. We need you to be about building new wineskins. Okay, as I close here, I just want to share. Should I share? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What if you just skip, like, what we do, because we already know what we do, and just read that last
part? So they gave me 4 minutes to share about what we do at Simple Churches, which was okay. To their credit, they asked if I could come back on Saturday morning and be a part of a session to speak for an hour about what we do. But my time didn't work out for me to do that. Our flights didn't work out. So I had 4 minutes to talk about what we did. And I shared, I got a lot in 4 minutes, and I stuck with 4 minutes. I read it. I just read it. You know what? Do I need to? You can read it afterwards, what I said, unless you really want to hear. It's 4 minutes. Do you want to hear what I said or no?
Yes.
They want to hear what I said. Okay. Here's what I said about you in 4 minutes. And just so you know, I get invited to go to places quite frequently, but normally it's to speak longer than this about you. But this was once for 4 minutes. Okay, so here's what I said about you in 4 minutes. Our church began in the fall of 2006. We're the third church planted out of North Shore Alliance Church in fulfillment of a vision that God gave there in the winter of 1999. Simple Churches, as we have come to be known, is presently a network of 5 house churches that exist in neighborhoods throughout the Vancouver area. Our vision is to follow Jesus as He brings His living water, hope, and hospitality to these neighborhoods, and particularly to the marginalized within them. The churches themselves meet for worship primarily in homes. Each week, God's people come together for prayer, singing, the Lord's Supper, reading the Scriptures, and always a meal. In addition to our meetings in homes, once a month, all the churches come together for a more traditional worship service that we call our citywide gathering. As a pastor in the community, my responsibilities have come to look much like it seems the Apostle Paul's did in the early church. I train and equip the leaders of the churches in the network, calling them to rise up as pastors and servants in the flocks of their care. I didn't cry there, and I don't know why I am now, but I guess because I love you. I visit the various churches, blessing them and teaching them and encouraging them to continue with Christ and the good works in their city. I pray for the city and for the churches scattered throughout it. I build friendships with my neighbors. I write letters or record podcasts of teaching, direction, and vision that are centered at the churches for their training and assistance. It is an amazing and rewarding way to live as a pastor. In keeping with our values, each of the churches are encouraged to seek God for a particular focus of serving and blessing in their neighborhood. Two examples. One of our churches has recently adopted two teenage mothers to care for and to witness to about Jesus' love. They have given them driving lessons, albeit reluctantly. They've taught them how to cook healthy meals for their family and to babysit their children once a week. And each week they serve these mothers, their relationships with them deepens, and the service takes them beyond merely charity and slowly into solidarity and love with these new widows of our Western society. The church that meets in our home has adopted 5 single moms. Each month the church and their moms has their kids over for dinner. The men play with the kids, which is what the women want, and the women sit and talk and pray and laugh. 1.5 years in, the relationships have become so meaningful. At Christmas, we brought the women presents for them and for their children. One of the women our church has secured a new car for after her car broke down on the way to one of our gatherings. And one of the women has just recently become a new follower of Jesus. Stringing all these things together, it sounds like a massive work is unfolding in Vancouver. To be honest, though, it looks more like a slow, patient, quiet, subversive, deliberate work. It looks like people that are learning what is to be the church. People who are moving from consumers to active participants in the kingdom. People who are slowly learning to bless and care for and serve one another and their world. It looks like people who are learning to follow Jesus. So that's what I shared about you, and I believe it. And it was particularly that last part that I felt I need to share that, because it'd be easy to stand up and just brag and say, this is what's happening in that, create this picture in people's minds, like, whoa, something huge is unfolding. But I really felt like I needed to say, in reality, it looks like a slow, deliberate, quiet, subversive work in our world, because that's what it does look like. But it's important, right? So keep going. And it's about that I think Jolie wants to share next a little bit, particularly about the hardness, right?
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to stretch a little bit to make it fit in, but I think it will.
No. Just go.
So.
Just tuck that into your pocket.
That is okay. Yeah, assembly was surprisingly good. So my story starts a little bit before assembly. And about this, better take that off. Like this whole last year and a little bit, I've been really wondering about my faith and my relationship with God and how I'm sharing that or not sharing it with the people around me. And I've been thinking about that a lot and usually ending up, you know, feeling kind of guilty that my desire to share Jesus seems to be at a bit of an all-time low. Which is kind of strange for me. But I know that that guilty thing was and still is the flesh part of me. Guilt is never from Jesus, isn't it? So I'm kind of working through this issue of how I'm going to share my faith and how to share it in God's timing. And every time I would be kind of consumed with guilt about this, like I'm not doing what I should be doing, I would consult the Lord and always feel like a really easiness from him, that he wasn't worried about it, he wasn't tense about me sharing my faith or not sharing my faith. And so I kind of go between my feelings and the reality that I felt like God was sharing with me. Numerous times the past year, I work at a youth center, 1.5 years now, I've felt, like in conversations with my coworkers, I've really felt held back from talking about God with them. I feel like the Holy Spirit's held me back from sharing with them as they're talking about their life or painful experiences. And every time that those conversations happen, I know the Holy Spirit is the one holding me back. But later on, I'd go home, and that guilty flesh person of me, the duty-bound, would rise up and say, oh, you are so wimpy. Why didn't, if you really love Jesus, you would have said something about that. And so I go back and forth between living in the reality that I know that God's not mad at me, and he's actually okay with it. So I go back and forth. I knew that, and even today, I really know that my desire to share my faith, I really want that to be in line with his desire to be shared. So when he wants to share himself, I think that that's where I want to be. When he wants to share himself, I want to be hearing that. I don't want to share him too early or too late for that matter. So anyways, I've been on a bit of a watchful waiting because I know that he's okay with me not running around talking about him all the time. And so I've just been waiting. I keep telling him, God, I'm open. I'm open for you to show me when to tell people about you or show me not to. And a number of months ago now, like I think in the winter, maybe the spring, I had dropped Chinita off at preschool and was driving by Erin and Trevor's house and started praying for their little church and praying again for simple churches. And right away I felt my mind sort of kick in and I started complaining instead of praying. And I started growling to the Lord about growing and why aren't we growing? And God, when are you going to get around to growing this church? And when I say growing, like I don't mean a bunch of a whole bunch of people coming from another church to join us. Like when I say growing, my heart really is for actual converts, like new people to come to know Jesus or people maybe that have left him to come back to Jesus. I think the other kind of growth is like kind of irrelevant. So I'm talking about like real, really new people that have never heard about Jesus. And so anyways, I was praying about this and my complaining spirit got the better of me. And I just felt like, right away, I just heard like this sigh from heaven. It just felt like Jesus just said to me, Jolie, you and I do not share the same concern. So I've heard that a few times when he's told me that we don't share the same concern. So that usually means that I need to just stop and repent and then listen and do a little more repenting because I want to be concerned with what he's concerned about. So after we drove a little bit more, then I just got to the place where I just said, Lord, then what is your intention? Like, what are you doing? Are you doing anything at all? And I heard God's really tender voice, words of intention for me, and I think for us. This is in late winter, and he just said, I am busy, Jolie. I'm busy with you guys, and I'm busy making you mine. I'm busy making this church of people my own. So I thought, okay, so he's not so concerned about growing, and I needed to submit to what he was actually doing and working on and what he cared about. And what usually happens with me is that when God tells me something or I feel like I've come to something new, then it always seems like that few weeks after, then I get a lot of questions about that exact thing. And so right around that time, it was a lot of questions about from other people and people within our churches. When are we growing? Why aren't you growing? Are you guys growing? Like, is there anybody coming to your churches? But it was good. It was good practice for me because then I could go back and say in my heart and say to people, you know what? I don't know if actually God's too concerned about that right now. And we should maybe look at why we're so concerned about it and just ask him again, God, are you concerned about this? And find out, is he worried about it? Because he told me he's not worried about it. So I'm going to try not to worry about it either. So then I've just been sort of waiting in that. It's like, okay, I'm just going to enjoy God making us his own, whatever that means to him, as he's changing us and growing us. And then assembly came a few weeks ago, and as Andy said, we came sort of in time for the main speaker. And we came in there, and as we came in, there's like a few thousand people there, and there's a few missionaries at the front, and people were gathered around these missionaries, laying hands on them and praying for them. And it was really, really quite, it was a really sweet spirit in there. And I felt like the Lord's voice right away. All these voices were raising up. People's hands were out praying for these missionaries up there. And we were at the very back, kind of quite far away from it. And I just felt like this new idea sort of come to me. And the Lord's voice just said to me, Jolie, that is what you need to ask me for. You need to ask me for a missionary spirit. And I was a bit, well, it was kind of a new thought for me. I was a little bit surprised by that, but it felt right. I thought, okay, there's something about that I need to remember that. And I'll ask you for a missionary spirit. We'll wait it out. And I felt that need for somebody somewhere to lay hands on me and commission me to be a person, a going out kind of sending. I felt like I needed a sending, that the Lord was saying, you need to ask me for this missionary spirit. So we waited. So I just waited. I thought, okay, well, God will figure this out as we go. And as Andy said, in the next few days, we got to share, but also people were coming up quite a bit. So you're involved with that thing at Simple Churches and talking a lot about the website. And one lady said to me, it's really neat how you guys meet each other's needs on that website. I thought, I guess that is kind of neat. And a couple of youth pastors in a different province had said that they loved the idea of the community, like the feeling of community from the website. And that's kind of, we want to get into that because our kids are into the internet and blah, blah, blah. It was very encouraging. So lots of people were talking to us, and people were genuinely curious and genuinely encouraging about our little church plant. And I was actually really surprised by that. I kept finding that really surprising that people were so encouraged. But as Andy said, I think I also became aware of why people were so encouraged by us. And for the first time, I became aware of really the truth of the statistics that people are always talking about. For some reason, I suddenly became aware that it's actually true, that the world that we live in, Canada, and specifically our Vancouver, is really hard. It's as hard as stone. And that whole little stat we hear, and we heard this again, that thing about 2% of people going to something religious in Vancouver. Like, that doesn't even mean you're a believer or you could be whatever, going to something religious. Like, only 2% of people during the week are going to something. And so, suddenly that reality sort of became true to me. Like, okay, this is where I'm living. And you know the rumors that we always hear about, like, other nations sending missionaries to Canada because they're going to come to us now and share Jesus' love with us? All of a sudden, that wasn't laughable to me anymore. It was like, it wasn't astounding. It was just, like, real. It was like, you're right. That is actually what we need. That's happening because it's true. That's where our nation is at. Yes, I spoke to a Filipino people. A church in the Philippines sent a couple here. Like, people are coming here. And I'd heard that before, and I just was like, oh, yeah. But that's the truth, because that's where Canada is at. And I realized that somewhere between, like, my little growing up, my world of childhood, of backyard Bible clubs, where we would invite our neighbors to our backyard for a week, basically tell them about Jesus and play games, or setting out the billboard, come to church on Sunday morning, 10 o'clock. Like, this is how people used to come to church when I was young. This doesn't happen anymore. And sometime in my very short life between a child and today, I realized, okay, Canada, the landscape of this country has totally, really, like, dramatically changed. And suddenly I realized, okay, like, God is right. I need a missionary spirit. Because that's where I live right now. And that hit me. That was really big for me. About 5 years ago, I met a girl who had twins. She was in her early 20s. She had twin boys, and she told me she had named them. I said, what are their names? Their names are Noah and Elijah. I was like, oh my goodness, that's some major Bible names you've got there. Her face was totally blank. She was like, Bible names? I was like, Noah and Elijah? Okay, maybe you don't know Elijah, but have you never heard of Noah's Ark? Like nothing. Like, not a clue. And that's kind of like, that's where we live. People don't know. And so I guess I just finally realized I need to treat Canada and my neighborhood like what it is, a totally unevangelized world. It's like it's like 200 years ago, we're going to China where no one has heard ever about this God, about this Jesus. People here, they have their own religions, they have their own customs, their own beliefs. That's what we live in. There's nothing really Christian about us anymore. And actually, it was kind of a relief to me to sort of, I felt like God answered that angst in me about sharing, because I was not really sharing, wasn't really working. I feel like God answered that angst. And I started thinking about the many missionaries we know. We know a few in Thailand. We get letters from people in Germany. And I started thinking and I wondering about, like, what are the things in common that I share with those people in other nations that are, you know, sharing Jesus' love in other countries? Well, I actually share, like, a lot with them. Like, the things that they are experiencing, I'm actually experiencing. Like in some ways, a bit of a fear of the unknown, right? I know that's a really scary thing for them to share their faith, to plant little churches, to have people into their homes, to start businesses, all of that stuff. Well, that's the same. It's unknown. It's fear of the unknown, even right here in my own neighborhood, to share Jesus, to let people know that my husband's a pastor. All of that stuff, it's a little scary. I think we share a lot more in common with them than we think we do. The pioneering spirit, like, those people are out there in hard ground, opening their doors and their lives to whoever. I thought, that's kind of like us. And courage. I think it takes a lot of courage to move to another country and start your whole world again. And in some ways, I feel like I need a lot of courage in my world to kind of just be. I mean, it's not, I feel like convinced lately that it's not enough for me to be a nice person. It's not, I just don't want people to say to me, oh, she's so nice. It's not really about being nice, actually. It's about somebody that's in me that's really loving and kind. So, anyways, that missionary spirit thing. And that missionary spirit thing was really important to us. And felt like God was telling us, you guys need this missionary spirit. And that idea of being sent, to feel like you are being sent into something, into your own world. And as we were worshiping, I just felt the Spirit, and I felt Him just saying, people, we need to know, like, that it takes courage to stay home. It takes courage, like, to be where you are. It takes courage to be home and to share Jesus with your family and your friends and your neighbors and your coworkers. That takes a lot of courage. That takes courage. And it's okay to know that. Yeah. So, that's where we're at. And there's a few scriptures that we could read, or we could watch the video now. Or what do you think? Well, let's watch the video. Okay. This is something they shared also at Assembly. And this is really about Canada. The Alliance is thinking a lot about Canada and realizing, hey, we need to reach Canada. So this is their video about that. Oh, that's beautiful. You have your own watch. You want to watch a video with us?
What Julie's talking about, although it wasn't said in those words, like in Canada, we kind of are given four areas of the world that we focus in Christian Missionary Alliance denomination. We get four areas of the world that our missions are focused on, and they're all beginning with an S, so that we'll supposedly remember them, right? So there are Caribbean Sun, Silk Road, Asian Spice, and Desert Sand, okay, all with an S. Well, this year, realizing what's taking place in our world, they said, no, there's another S now that needs to be added in, and the new S is called Sea to Sea, and what that is, it's Canada. The realization that Canada now is a mission field. And Vancouver is really further along on the pathway of secularization and humanism than any other maybe city in Canada, save maybe Montreal. So we're in a place that, like Julie was saying, our ground. So when you put together this video, it was actually done by a friend of Sean Graham and Shane Newell's named Jason Hildebrandt. And it's called Sea to Sea. And it's kind of is a visual of what Julie's talking about.
Quick interlude here. We watched the video, and then Jolie came back and led us in prayer about the missionary spirit. You can watch the video. I've loaded it up to the website as well.
Yeah. And I think the missionary spirit is all of us. We did get somebody to pray for us while we were there. Laying hands on us, really, and he took time to pray for us. But I got the picture that I just got the sense that God was like, I asked you to ask me for it, Jolie. And it wasn't for me just to get prayed in the middle of nowhere, Ontario, with a bunch of people that I didn't know. But it was for here, for my home, my community of people, for this missionary spirit, for us to be commissioned. But to be commissioned by the Lord, to be people who would be sending to our neighbors again, to our families. And we're going to ask God for that. And I was thinking, praying about this the last few days, and it's so good that I was praying for you, for me, the missionary spirit, which is really the Holy Spirit that would send us. And pictures of, I mean, I don't know all of you, your situations, but so many of the people that I know that you know that don't know Jesus, so many of your family.
to us. All who Jesus sent, anointing us with the missionary spirit.
Thank you.